Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Stop now, or I shall use more big words at you.
Oh, this rocks my coronation!
Everyone has been destroyed because of this freak! I won't allow it! These babies just saved this lame death party!
The internet can be your window to the world, or an open door that lets cyber criminals in. Online theft, webcam spying, and identity fraud are all on the rise. But you can stay safe with Kaspersky Lab, the world's most awarded internet security. Kaspersky protects your money, privacy, identity, and data with technology perfected over 20 years. So keep exploring. Kaspersky Lab will keep you safe online. Learn more at Kaspersky.com.
What's going on? Welcome out to Two Twig, the flagship of stupidity. I am one of your due hosts today. That's right, I am Mike the Birdman Dodd, and I am joined with...
Alex.
That's right, guys. We have yet another week to celebrate the world of dork, geek, doofus, dweeb, and, well, I can't think of any other words for loser, though you're not losers. You're all special friends to me. I'm glad you've joined us on this wonderful Sunday in May. It is May the 5th.
Did you just call all the fans special losers?
Yes.
Yes, that works.
Take that in any way you
special
please.
Losers. You're our special losers.
Exactly. Because you know what? The geek shall inherit the earth. So, coming up on the show this week, lots of exciting things. We actually have a review of the new Battletech video game, which came out a couple of weeks ago. And we also have something a little bit different. We have a review from Logitech, which is going to be talking about their G613 Lightspeed keyboard and their G603 Lightspeed mouse, which has actually served me very well as a newly accessible gamer, which is kind of a term, kind of a catch-all I'm using for handicap gaming, as now that I have my wheelchair and power chair. Cords are a thing that are now a big no-no in this house. It means I don't run over them or get them caught in my wheels of my chair. And yeah, we'll talk about that at the end of the show. Of course, another edition of Satan's Pantry. And that's how we roll here on the show. But as we often do off the top of the show, we usually talk about what's been going on during the week that is, that was. And you maybe notice we're short Mr. Christopher and Lee Emperor Wayne Johnson. So, Mr. Christopher, unfortunately, had to sit this show out due to a death in his extended family. His fiancée, Lacey, had her grandmother pass away this week, so he decided to take the weekend off, and we definitely send our deepest condolences to the family, as definitely me and Alex get what it's like to lose a grandparent.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. And considering how close Lacey was with her grandparents, this one hits especially close to home. In fact, Alex has been doing some stuff to make Lacey feel better this past week, which has involved Shirley Temple and Showboat, of all things.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of weird what you see, what grandparents will bond over. For example, me and my grandparents, we used to watch a lot of Roseanne. I don't remember watching a lot of movies with them, though. They were not movie people, but they were always a lot of TV show and syndicated stuff.
For me, my grandfather and I used to watch a lot of wrestling, but specifically, he always loved midget wrestling.
That's so weird.
That, and he had a love for James Bond and like old sci-fi movies.
My grandmother and my grandfather, it was all sports all the time, literally. I've sat and watched so much hockey, it's enough to make you puke. My grandfather was a huge boxer. He used to love watching boxing. I remember, I've seen all the big Sonny Liston fights. I've seen Mike Tyson back in his heyday, Buster Douglas, stuff like that. My grandmother, who was the sports fanatic in the house, which is kind of weird now that I think about it. It was hockey. It was baseball. She never got into basketball that I'm aware of, but it was always like World Juniors. The Toronto Maple Leafs were her ride or die. And it was in our house every night was like CBC Sports or Sportsnet or whatever. I remember she used to watch or listen to back. There's a radio station in Toronto called the Fan 590, which also syndicates across, I guess, the Rogers radio network. There's a guy on it named Bob McCowan, and he has a very distinctive, very, very deep voice. I wish I could emulate it, but he has a very soothing voice when he talks to you about sports statistics, plus and minuses. It's kind of nuts. But yeah, so we send our deepest condolences to I was going to call him Christopher. To Tristan and Lacey. I'm trying to think what else we've been doing this past week.
A lot of reviews.
My God.
We've got a lot of products that we're like, let's get going on the reviews.
Yep. So we have a new Turtle Treasure that'll be coming out later on this week. We also recorded a new, something kind of new, actually. As you heard last week, we had a new version of the Twig DVD commentaries come out. We decided to do Twig DVD commentaries YouTube edition. And we'd find old movies that are out of print and you cannot buy on DVD unless you're willing to go to eBay or something. So you know what? If it's been up...
Some of them may not even have like a VHS release anymore.
Yeah, like these may be lost to time itself. So as far as I'm concerned, if the movies up on YouTube have been abandoned for 4 or 5 years, who gives a rat's ass? It's up to us to enjoy. And this week's edition of DVD Theater... or YouTube Theater, you will, is something called the Secret Agent Club with good old Hulk, or Terry Hulk Hogan. And, yeah, we downloaded a couple of these movies last night to watch, just so we can get our things synced up and all our equipment ready. We're also probably going to be doing Shadow Warriors Assault on Death Island, and that's as exciting as it sounds. It's ridiculous. It's going to be amazing with Shannon Tweed and Carl fucking Weathers. I'm a little excited for this. I'm not going to lie. It looks so dumb. We're also recording a prototype after this where we talk about sort of the games we've played and games we want to play, games that are sitting in our backlogs right now because as the life of a reviewer can be a difficult one, and I know that sounds contradictive and stupid, but you'd be surprised how much stuff just gets left behind. In your backlog. Also, I'll be doing a Future Imperfect with Steve Megatron Phillips, the Admiral of the Future Imperfect, and we'll also be doing a couple of Altered Geeks as well. But without any further ado, let's launch into my review of Battletech from Harebrained Schemes and Paradox Interactive right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity. Welcome to warfare in the 3020s. That's right. I am Mike the Birdman Dodd, and I'm talking about Harebrained Schemes and Paradox Interactive's Battletech, based upon the long-running sci-fi franchise, which sees giant robotic war machines known as battle mechs stomping across the landscapes of the 31st century and beyond in some cases, kicking ass and taking names. And this game takes place At some point after the Third Succession War in the BattleTech lore, you find yourself as a mercenary trying to help free the Angaran Reach, which is a place in the deep periphery, which is an area of space which happens to be more wild, more freeform, and free of House Steiner and Davian or the Draconis Combine. I'm throwing out a lot of terms with that. Stay with me here, folks. Just trust me. The game takes place enough in its own part of the BattleTech universe that you don't necessarily have to worry about what's going on in the Inner Sphere or Comstar or the Word of Blake or whatever else. But those factions do still exist in this world, thus you don't gotta worry about that so much. You're more worried about freeing this piece of the universe from, well, bad guys. And that's all I'm really gonna tell you about the story, but if you're a fan of the BattleTech franchise, it feels right at home. Especially if you played the long-running role-playing game called MechWarrior, which you can find from Catalyst Game Labs, which we might be playing on the Cambridge Chronicles as one of our one-shot games later on this year. Heavily inspired by this game, actually, if I may say so myself. But back to the video game at hand. So, what this game does right is it definitely captures the BattleTech experience down to a T. What do I mean by that? This game feels like the board game. Like you're literally sitting down with your friends on a table with the hex-based map, fighting it out with your different classes of mech. Light, medium, heavy, and assault. And you'll battle against different types of tanks as well. There are some different land units you can fight against. And it feels like the board game and the fact that a lot of this is determined by random rolls. So let's say you approach someone with a large laser and you rolled a hit. You may score a critical hit on their left torso, blowing out, say, their LRM-20 ammo, which deals more damage to their left torso, and now they've got some of their internal structure exposed, or you blow through their armor. Or you may get lucky, score a critical headshot, blow off the mech's cockpit, killing the pilot, and you may get some pretty cool salvage. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, as you do take the role of a mercenary, you have to manage finances. That's right. This game is also partially math. You got to keep your mech warriors fed, happy, healthy, keep your dropship running, keep enough mech base so you can repair all your mechs, put mechs in storage, determine salvage rights. That's right. When you're fighting the various different missions that aren't necessarily story missions, you can negotiate contracts. And what I mean by that, well, do you want more money to keep people happy, or do you want more salvage? And you might find special salvage. You might find a really cool AC-20. You might find a really neat LRM-20 or something like that that does extra damage or might add an extra status effect or something to that effect. And this game, it's incredibly deep. Like, literally, this is a game you gotta pay attention to, because if you go bankrupt, guess what? You're kind of screwed. But I love the fact that Harebrained Schemes has put such an attention to detail in this game. And you don't have to have a super powerful PC to run this thing either. I'm playing this on a Windows 10 machine, and my computer is a couple of years old, but I think I'm playing everything on the highest settings for graphics. And this game looks fantastic. As I said, there's a fairly lengthy campaign. You can do skirmishes with your friends. You can do skirmish against the PC, which is what I do a lot of, just to practice to get battle tactics down. There are some difficulty spikes in this game. There are points where the game feels really, really easy. Other point, the game's going to kick you right in the tail. And overall, it's a fairly fun experience. Now, is it worth paying full retail for right now? Well, that depends. If you're a fan of the BattleTech franchise, odds are I'm preaching to the choir, I'm spreading the word of Blake, and you've already bought this. If you are not a fan of BattleTech, however, then this is something you may want to wait for a sale on, wait for it to drop $10 or $15, and then it's something I really think you should take a proper jump into, because we haven't had a proper MechWarrior game in quite some time. Yes, there's MechWarrior Online, yes, there's the upcoming MechWarrior 5, This feels more akin to Mech Commander, but with a lot more depth to it. And I think it's something you can really appreciate from us here at This Week in Geek. So you should be checking out BattleTech. That's available right now on PC, OS X, and Linux.
News on the Mark!
Hopefully you guys will have a chance to check out BattleTech on PC, Mac OS, and Linux. Definitely a game that I enjoyed a lot more than I thought I was going to because it is so deep and complex. But don't let that intimidate you. It's still a damn fun game. You should check that out. Okay, so let's get into the news from the week that was, is, and forever shall be in the minds of mankind. That's right. So one of the cool stories I want to cover this week, and this was a heartwarmer. I'm actually going to do something kind of very happy. So this Michigan man is asking for 530,000 retweets to see his Newfoundland girlfriend. So CJ Poirier fell in love with Becca Warren back in June. Now just 500,000 retweets are standing in their way. So this guy lives in Michigan, and Becca lives in Corner Brook, Newfoundland. And he asked Air Canada for a free round-trip plane ticket if he could get 530,000 retweets. Now, this guy works full-time as a barista. I guess he works at, like, a Starbucks or something. And he struggles to make, you know, ends meet. He's got car payments, student loans.
They don't pay that great.
No, exactly. You're not exactly flying anywhere if you're working Starbucks money. Although, so I've known some people, but I guess they live at homes. This kid pays his own way. So, Air Canada offered him a free round-trip plane ticket so they could get together. However, he said he has like a week or 2 weeks or something to get 530,000 retweets. So his Twitter, this was from May 1st, says, because of my financial status, I won't be able to afford a ticket to Newfoundland to see my girlfriend, so I've taken a shot in the dark. If we can get 530,000 retweets, the people over at Air Canada will give me a free round-trip plane ticket. Hashtag 530K for Becca. As of today, he's currently sitting at 28.4K.
He's not going to make it.
He's not going to make it, which is unfortunate.
It already hit Reddit and everything?
Yes, as far as I could tell. Now, he's gotten some pretty major news coverage. I've seen stations in Detroit reach out to him. I know City TV in Toronto's reached out to him. A bunch of radio stations have reached out to him as well.
You know what might happen then?
What?
Somebody like WestJet will pick it up instead.
I hope so. You know, I honestly hope Air Canada just does it anyway.
It's Air Canada.
It's yeah. Not happening. Yeah, they tend to kill animals and do other sorts of horrible things. Although, I'd like to know why he set his number so high. I think someone had said 530K was the entire population of Newfoundland or something like that.
You know, it might be something. Is it how many
miles between them?
No, it's got to be more than that. Dude.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
530 miles? That's like from here to like Ottawa.
Yeah. I guess that's true. So, it's funny. He does give a bunch of things on his Twitter, which if you want to follow this kid, it's at the CJ Poirier. He says, let me see. I understand that this is the common idea regarding 530K for Becker, but I assure you that this campaign was all my idea and the support by everyone has been genuine. Not fake. The support... every interview is real. Everything we say is coming from our hearts. No on the CBC thread, no on this one either. This is just a big publicity stunt by Air Canada trying to get it the trend on Twitter, saying media will cover it, for which they're happily doing for their corporate masters. Stop spamming this shit. I myself reached out to this kid, say, because he's a graphic designer. I'm like, hey, I might be looking for some work for the Cambridge Chronicles. What do you got? He never got back to me.
You know what? Worst case scenario, I wonder if Greyhound would pick him up and drive him.
Yeah, you know what? Because that's kind of cheaper.
Make it a cross-Canada trip for him.
And vlog it.
Because unfortunately, as far as I can tell, there isn't a train that goes from the States to Canada anymore.
No, but if he picked up a train in Buffalo or something.
No, but like he'd have to go to Maine. Or if he Greyhound it up into Canada, then he could take the train.
Yeah.
It's weird. It used to be that you could go like from Toronto to New York by train and stuff. Nothing. Yep. Nothing crosses the border anymore, unless it's a cargo.
That's weird. But I guess they just don't want to deal with, you know, customs.
Well,
and
yeah,
everything.
I'm thinking, like, if it was a train system, you could get there, and it would still take probably a day and a half or so, but...
Give or take, yeah.
But still, I mean, it would be something scenic. It would be something that you think that they would want publicity for.
Yeah, you see, I'm honestly surprised Air Canada is not offering this kid, like, okay, clearly you've given us a lot of very big public eye exposure. Tell you what, you and your girlfriend, here is an all-expenses-paid trip to Jasper for the weekend or something. Or Banff or something.
Like, meet in the middle. Go to, like...
Come to Toronto.
Or Montreal or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's not going to be any hair off their ass. It's great PR. I mean, looking as a guy who has a public relations background, yeah, this is a golden opportunity for you to look like the good guys. I mean, now, would this have been better to happen around Valentine's Day? Yeah. Now, I've seen a lot of people poo-poo this. They're like, whoa, he should work for a living. I'm like, asshole, did you read the story?
And honestly, not expecting anything. This is just a can it happen, it would be nice if it could happen sort of thing.
Yeah, and I'm the type of guy, I mean, I've run GoFundMes before. I've run Twitter campaigns. Hell, I've been on Comic Book Men. So I know the power of social media. It can be harnessed for good, but it's always those few loud minority assholes who make it difficult
for
everybody
else. People like to say, well, why should you get something? I want something. It's not...
That's not how it works.
It's people are... A lot of people online are just really selfish, and they get jealous when somebody...
Has something good happen to them?
Yeah. It's like, I'm the only one that deserves anything good. You don't deserve shit. Or even people that are even worse, they're just like, nobody deserves anything. Fuck off.
Yeah, and I hate that. Because honestly, I picked the story this week... Because you know what? I want to see this kid succeed. I've been in the position where this kid's been in, where it's hard to get to see your long-distance loved one. I mean, me and Blair were in a long-distance relationship for like 3 years. Now, I was very fortunate that she could afford to come see me every weekend because she had a car. But back when I was younger, I had a girlfriend. I lived in London, Ontario. My girlfriend at the time lived in Trenton / Belleville, which is a good 4 or 5 hours away. And I had to pay for her train ticket every weekend. So I was putting in tons of overtime in addition to maintaining a house by myself. Because my mom and my roommate at the time weren't working. So I'm holding this whole thing up by myself and at the same time trying to see a girlfriend. So I get where this kid's coming from. It's tough. So CJ, you have my... deepest support. I hope you get a chance to see Becca, and good luck, buddy. Honestly, I really hope you are successful in this. So moving on to our next story, and you have to wonder, wow, I wonder when we're going to cover this story. Alex, what are we talking about?
Oh, well, Avengers Infinity War broke the $1 billion mark faster than any movie has previously. I think it was about 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, I mean, past 7 days.
Yeah, that's not a billion, you know, domestic U.S., Canada, Mexico. That's worldwide.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, I don't think it's physically possible unless you charge, like, $30 for a ticket.
Well, it's weird. I follow a lot of people on Twitter and Facebook. I have, like, something like 2,500 friends and, like, 4,000 followers on Twitter. And I keep seeing people saying, oh, I just came back from Avengers War for, like, the fifth time.
See, I can't see myself seeing it that many times that fast. But what I did notice was I saw it on this past Tuesday, and the theater that I went to is one of those VIP ones that has the extra stuff. It was playing on two of the VIP screens, one in 3D, one not in 3D. It was actually VIP 3D, not 3D. Yes, and then it was playing on four additional screens. It was six screens at the theater.
Wow,
and. That was just one theater in town. So it in my city, it was probably playing on a total of 15 screens.
That's insane.
That's 15 screens for a population of about 400,000 people in the area.
Mm-hmm. And you know this movie's going to stay in theaters until probably at least July at the earliest. Because we've got Jurassic Kingdom coming up. We have Solo. We have Deadpool 2. What are the... Are there any other big summer blockbusters that I'm missing there? Ant-Man and Wasp?
Yeah, Ant-Man and Wasp. There's bound to be other ones. It depends on what you consider blockbuster. Like, there's the Oceans movie.
Oceans 8.
But it's still yet to be seen if it's going to be successful because it's not Soderbergh and it's not the same cast and not the same crew. Who knows?
I hope it is because I think it looks really cool.
There's Skyscraper from The Rock.
Yep, where he plays Me.
He plays you, yes. But you got Skyscraper. You've got, I think there's a couple near the end of the summer as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we might be in a case this year like we were last year where August is a dead month.
Yeah. And I kind of wonder if we'll see it in a case like Jumanji, for example, where the movie stays in theater till the week before it's released on home video.
Maybe, yeah.
Because, hell, even Black Panther actually comes out in like a week and it's still in theaters.
Yeah, I was going to say with Jumanji, the digital downloads and rentals were out 2 weeks before it was out of theaters.
That's insane. And I can't think of very many cases where that has actually happened either. I mean, Avengers Infinity War, when I went to see it, I saw it on the Thursday of opening night. It was the first movie I've seen since being released from the hospital, so go me. My theater was about three quarters full. Then coming out of the 7 o'clock show, non-3D, so I got out at like 9:30, 10 o'clock, whenever the movie's like 2.5 hours long, the theater lobby was packed.
Yeah, like I went to a 3:30 or 3:40 showing. I wanted to go earlier because Tuesdays it gets pretty busy, but I went to the non-3D version, which I knew would have less people, even though it's a better experience. To be honest, these movies are not made in 3D. They do that conversion thing, and it gets blurry, and it's hard to see.
It's hard to follow.
Unless the movie is filmed entirely in 3D with that in mind, it doesn't ever really turn out.
I think only the Guardians movies really work in 3D.
It has to be very bright and very solid colors, because that way it pops easier.
So Thor might have worked.
Yeah, that would have worked. It works best for cartoons. Something that doesn't have a ton of texture that's going to be blurry when you do that.
Like, I don't know. I'm honestly surprised how many people are going back that often. I mean, and I think I'm the outlier with this. I liked Avengers Infinity War, but I didn't love it.
And similar, like my brother saw it before me, and his message from him and his fiance were that they hated it. Hated it with a passion.
I've heard that from a few people.
It's just
not
that
many, but
it
a
was
few.
The tone. It was problems with just. They had problems that the jokes in their mind didn't fit. The movie was long and boring. And I was like, really? And I'm hearing more and more of that from people their age. They're about 6-7 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And they are people that watched the Marvel movies, but they only really liked the ones that were comedic.
Oh, so like Ant-Man, Spider-Man, Homecoming,
yeah,
Thor,
yeah.
Ragnarok.
Like they hated Doctor Strange. Hated it. Hated the Thor movies until the newest one.
Yeah.
And they're saying that this is a complete disappointment.
Wow.
And,
that definitely
and I've heard
outlier.
A lot of that from people that are like 18 to 23, 24. And I mean, it's not everybody, but it's a lot. It seems to be the backlash. Like I always enjoyed the film, but I watched it and went, this is not as good as the previous three movies that were released, which were Guardians, Thor, and Black Panther.
Which kind of brings us to our next discussion point. As promised, we're going to talk about Avengers Infinity War at length. And from here on out, folks, welcome to spoiler territory. You have heard it here. Spoilers. I'm going to give you one last time to get the hell out of here. Come back later in the podcast where we talk about the weird news. Spoilers. Are you ready? Are your pants on the floor? Let's do it.
Okay.
Okay, so Avengers Infinity War.
Biggest issue? Black Widow doesn't die. Hate her. Hate her so much.
She's so violent.
She is a horrible actress. Scarlett Johansson is a terrible actress.
Someone described her on Twitter as having the emotional range of lettuce. Or
pretty
celery,
much.
I think.
Here's the thing.
I like Natasha Romanoff,
though. She was cast, and is cast in most of the movies, for her looks. Not for her acting skills. And she never has been.
See, I think she was a lot stronger as Black Widow in Civil War and even in Iron Man 2. She looked like Black Widow.
But she's still pointless. She's a pointless character. She has no powers, and she adds nothing to the movie. She's emotionally draining because she doesn't...
I'd argue she doesn't have any abilities because she's supposed to be the highest trained.
But you know what
you
know what her job is?
Same with Hawkeye, though, right?
Hawkeye wasn't even in the movie.
But they did reference where he was, and that
house
me.
Arrest.
Yeah, house arrest. He retired.
So he's
Lang.
Probably going to be in Ant-Man or something.
I hope so.
Now, the issue I have with her stems from also, here's the thing. If you can't act, you have no charisma, you're like a dead fish on camera, and you start to lose your looks like she has in the last 3 or 4 years. Something's not... She's aged bad. Bad.
Well, you can't blame her for that.
As, that may be my opinion, but they really should have gone with Emily Blunt, who was supposed to be the original Black Widow.
I can't see her doing the physicality.
She's done it before in other films.
I don't know. I'm a but big yeah, fan so, of Black Widow.
So, aside from her, from Scarlett Johansson, just... She's Scarlett Johansson, in my mind, is like Kirsten Dunst.
It depends on the role?
No, I can't stand her.
Oh, okay.
They're like cinematic garbage.
I don't know. I'm a big fan of the character. I really like her portrayal. I don't like how they've changed her look. I kind of wish she still had the red hair and the cool-looking bodysuit. Now she's a blonde, and she has the smaller twin stick attack thingies. I'm just not a fan of the look.
She's basically there so that Hulk has something to do.
And not even, because this in this movie, they barely address that. They're like, oh, hey, Natasha. Hey, Bruce.
But, why was she spared? Why did we bother keeping
why
her?
That's something, I guess, obviously, the big elephant in the room, when Thanos snaps his fingers and all the new people are dead except for Rhodey, everybody gets greased.
Now, if you look in the Guardians, there are two Guardians left.
Rocket
and Nebula.
Yeah, that's it.
So at the end of the movie, like, on planet Titan,
yeah,
it's basically it's
just Tony, him and Tony.
Tony. So how the hell are they going to get out of there? So I'm assuming he's going to fix her. There's going to be some sort of robotic-y thing,
or
there'll
be like a spaceship left behind or something.
But yeah, it's there's just two of them there. That's it.
One of my favorite points after that point in the movie is you see Thanos come out of this hut. On this farm planet, which some have speculated might be Gamora's world, there's a panel right out of the comics where Thanos sits down and he's in this farmer's garb, and he just looks down over a job well done, where he's killed half the universe. He's content. I like the fact that they ripped that right out of the comics.
See, what I was really hoping for was that after he snapped his fingers, he'd look down and didn't realize that he was going to be one of the ones killed.
Nah, they wouldn't have done that.
Because I thought that would have been poetic justice. And the look on his face of, is he okay with that?
Well, another theory I've seen is that when he killed Gamora, he didn't love her enough, and the Soul Stone sucked him in the Soul World, so he's seeing everything play out in his mind. Which, that would be a cheap way to end this.
That would be.
But yeah, it was all a dream. No. One of the best parts of this is when Spider-Man Tom Holland dies at the end of this, and he's in Tony's arms, like, Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good.
And he's all crying.
That was improvised.
I'm trying not to laugh, but when I was in the theater, there were people behind me, no, oh, and they were crying and everything. Like, the theater, it was emotional. I saw it when, that's pretty good, but people were crying. And some people, actually, there were about 3 or 4 people that left the theater when people started dying.
Oh, wow.
It's like I know that they weren't comic fans and they didn't know the story. And when they saw the people, and then they saw Spider-Man starting to die, they just left the theater. They didn't want to stay for the rest.
That's just stupid and ignorant. And that's like, see, part of my problem with this is when Thanos snaps his fingers and kills everybody, like Falcon, like Scarlet Witch, like Spider-Man, you know this movie's a MacGuffin in that regard. You know they're going to come back. Because Black Panther has a movie coming out
in 2 years.
Maybe
not everybody. You never know.
My guess is Gamora likely dead. Likely she'll become the new guardian of the Soul Stone. Leaving Vision dead, likely he's dead. But then again, maybe Shuri had backed up his consciousness into the Wakanda computers. Who's that? Well,
and this is the thing. Like, she was working fast. It seemed like she finished.
Yeah, like she got 99% of it.
So something... You know, whether her plan was to remove the stone entirely or remove his consciousness from the body.
Yeah.
Because, like, that people didn't realize that's another route they could have taken.
Yep.
Is if we can't really remove the stone, because it didn't look like she was physically removing it. It looked like they were severing synapse connections.
Yeah, that's what they were trying
but
to do, yeah.
Here's the question. Severing the synapses, did it also mean downloading his consciousness?
I hope so, because I'm a big fan of Paul Bettany as Vision. Vision's one of my favorite Avengers. My two favorite Avengers, which, oh my god, I am so the minority here. Hawkeye, sadly he's not in this movie, as we've discussed, and Scarlet Witch. Elizabeth Olsen had a lot more to do in this movie, and she really showed off her powers.
Oh yeah.
which I thought was really cool. When she comes out to Wakanda, fucking levels the field.
Oh, yeah.
Like, her and her chaos magic. I'm thinking, yeah, that's right. That's my girl.
Thor finally shows up. And
with Stormbreaker.
Banner goes, oh, you're so screwed now. And it's true. They had to find creative ways not to have, essentially, the gods be there, in quotes.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing was with Hulk, it's like Hulk doesn't show up really...
Only in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah. And because reality is, if you just made the Hulk angry and angry with that, with the group of people that were there, he would have just won.
Yeah.
Just period. But because Thanos beat him and
he's afraid.
Beat him easily, the first time he's ever been beaten at all, he's terrified to come out. Like they're not saying why yet, he doesn't want to come out. It's because he's lost his confidence because he's never been in a situation where Hulk has been scared.
Yeah, like he got his ass kicked. And if you notice from all the trailers, we have the Avengers running towards the camera, Hulk's there. That scene is not in the movie.
Yep.
There's another scene, too, where you see Banner standing beside a Hulkbuster arm. That scene is not in the movie.
It could be a case where they recorded it just for the trailer, but yeah, it's probably stuff that was cut, or it could have been...
takes?
Yeah, from an earlier scene where they went, no, we're not going to do this.
Or another theory I've seen is...
From the second part.
Exactly. Because yeah. I think they shot those two pretty much back-to-back.
Because if you look at I believe it's the trailers and some production photos, there's... Thor in his original costume.
Yeah, and there's Captain America in his original
costume.
So
we know there's time travel in this. So here's a question. The gauntlet isn't with Thanos at the end.
I think it is, but it's trashed.
Well, it's trashed, but here's a question. Did the time stone... Is it something like the time stone is still available? It's the only thing that still works?
Yeah.
Can we use it once? Is it a thing where Thor's new... His new axe.
Yeah, Stormbreaker.
Stormbreaker, is he able... Because he says he could command the Bifrost. With
yeah.
Because the other sword was destroyed that did that.
Yeah.
Is he going to be able to time travel with his axe?
I don't know. There's going to be some weird Asgardian magic. They're going to have to... They're going to have to bring in cosmic abilities.
It's going
to
be something where, you know, like the Nova Corps or somebody gets involved or something.
Well, I think they're all dead because they say right off the hop, Xandar has been destroyed.
That's true. And then you've got, there's the Golden People, but they went by, was it the Sovereign? But they had a different title. It was like a churchy name in the original
comics.
Yeah,
I can't remember what it was.
It was like the Universal Church of something or other.
And they create Adam Warlock.
Yeah, so that's hinted at. And then there's the post-credit scene where it's like,
they summon Captain Marvel.
Yeah, Fury's like, oh, I guess now it's finally time to call people that are even better than...
than the Avengers, yeah, because they figured Ultron, yeah, he's a threat, but big deal.
This isn't a threat to Earth, this is a threat to existence.
Yeah,
as
so
a
now
whole
it's time
in the universe.
Now it's time to call Brie Larson. Please come save us. But, I mean, overall, I was fairly pleased with this movie. It wasn't boring. I felt it was maybe a little long, maybe 15 minutes too long.
Well, this is a case of originally it was going to be a 4-hour movie,
Fuck.
And then they cut it into two and had to add a half hour to each one to pad it out to make it make sense. So there is some stuff that's padded in here a little bit. Also, did you notice from Thor, when on the beginning on the ship, you don't see Reek and the other guy?
Oh, Kraglin or whatever.
Yeah, they're not even on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you'd find their dead bodies somewhere.
No, I'm surprised nothing. We didn't see Valkyrie.
Yeah,
as well.
It's like gone. Like we mean, they don't even hint at what happened to them. So is it a case of they abandoned ship?
Was Korg with them at the end of Ragnarok?
Korg was, which one was he again?
He was the rock looking dude.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, that's another question.
So it's
where's
like,
Korg
yes,
and
there's
Valkyrie?
A lot of people dead, but. For the amount of Asgardians that were on the ship at the end,
mm-hmm.
you see very little.
Yeah.
So did they jettison, did they abandon ship?
Yeah. Was there like an escape pod or
something? Is he truly the last one?
Which would be interesting to see how that sets up for the rest of the MCU. Also, yeah, where's Lady Sif?
Yep.
There's a lot of unanswered questions, and I kind of wonder if we'll ever get them.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. Like, how does this affect the Netflix series?
Actually, this does tie in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which isn't a Netflix series. They did address it on this past week's show. They say Thanos is attacked. There's an alien confederacy, which has promised to help defend Earth in exchange of resources. They say Thanos attacks your world even as we speak. and General Talbot, played by Adrian Panesar, becomes the bad guy Graviton. There's this element called Gravitonium, which they introduced in like the first season, like episodes like 1 to 5, I think.
Yeah, I remember that. When I actually watched that show.
And Talbot becomes Graviton. He's like, I need more so I can save the planet. And at the beginning of season 5, you see the Earth cracked in half. They thought Daisy did it because she has the earthquake powers, and maybe Graviton tore the Earth apart by accident trying to save it.
But doesn't Luke Cage come out in like a week or two?
No, it comes out in June.
Is it June?
Which means it likely takes place probably about like 6 months after Defenders.
No, okay, so I was going to say, so this batch of seasons, if they're smart, they'll probably play it as each one leads into the event.
Yeah, hopefully.
So that they don't have to do anything after, because I have a feeling that Ant-Man is going to be...
Ant-Man takes place 6 months to a year after Civil War.
Well, Ant-Man, when I was looking at it, I went, okay, is Ant-Man going to be something where it takes place the same time that Thor was taking place, and that it's going to end with, like, Wasp disappearing?
No, my guess is, from what I've read online and from what's been said from the director, Ant-Man and the Wasp takes place either a year or 2 years after Civil War.
And then it ends with him on house arrest or something?
Probably.
And then... I guess a post-credit scene will be people disappearing?
Probably. Somebody who'd be like, what the hell's going on? And then maybe Hawkeye shows up like, look, Lang, we've got a problem.
Or it's the conclusion of the movie. He's about to beat the bad guy, and then both the bad guy and him disappear.
Man, wouldn't that be something? I also love how the new bad person is a character called Ghost, who can use the Pym Particles to phase through shit. So just like Vision. Except
yeah, like
an asshole.
It's wondering. I don't think they don't have another title coming out this year, do they? They usually have one in like November.
No, they just have the Netflix, which is probably Daredevil.
Because we got like, Deadpool's not connected because it's Fox.
Yep.
But it's going to have references to it.
And Venom is coming out.
Venom is coming. Is New Mutants coming?
No, that's next August now.
Next August? So yeah. A year from now?
Yeah, it got pushed back.
Okay, because that's the horror one. And I guess that wouldn't be connected again because it's also Fox.
Oh, and
Fox.
There's Dark Phoenix coming out supposedly this year.
So, but those are all Fox, so they're not going to be...
Yeah, they're not MCU.
Yeah.
Though Venom's connection to the MCU is interesting because supposedly the post-credit scene has leaked where it's Tom Holland, Spider-Man. He's in the same office as Eddie Brock applying for a job. And he's like, oh, hi, Mr. Brock. My name's Peter.
Okay.
So we'll wait and see.
That could work. I mean... It's going to be interesting how they move forward with this because you know it's going to have some time travel fuckery to fix things.
Which kind of pisses me off. Is what say, oh, that's the ultimate way to fix this. Like, some of these deaths, I hope some of them stick.
I'm trying to think who would you want to stick to. They want these franchises to keep going. I'm hoping...
Not going to kill Winter Soldier.
You know
it's not going to happen.
Here is the thing. I can't even remember because so many people died. Did Captain America die in this one? He should have been the one that died.
Oh, he's going to die at the end of the next one.
Yeah, he's going to be permanent because he does not want to play the character anymore.
Yeah, he's done.
And if they're smart, basically...
Sebastian Stan will pick it up.
He'll come back and he'll pick it up and become the new captain.
Yeah, and my guess is you might have seen the end of Scarlet Witch. That's entirely possible.
Yeah.
And maybe even the Falcon, Sam Wilson.
Nobody really cares about Falcon. And
which kind of sucks, because he's
War Machine
fun.
Die in this one, too?
Nope. He survived, which was a very big surprise to me. So Tony's buddy survived.
But I guess they can't kill every secondary character.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, here's the sidekick dead. Here's the sidekick dead.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised Rocket survived.
They needed something to ground, like...
They needed the cosmic elements to make sense still.
But it's just, if you kill Groot...
Who cares?
Well, no, but you know, people care. People are crying in the theater, son. But it's more emotional if you kill Groot and then you have the trash panda cry over it.
Mm-hmm. But, so that's our discussion on Avengers Infinity War. Now, as kind of a preview, if you will, for those who listen to Twig exclusively, we do another podcast called The Cambridge Chronicles, which is sort of a spin-off sideshow of Terrible Warriors, the roleplay podcast. We're doing Marvel. And the cool thing is, our game takes place seconds after the infamous finger snap that ended reality, so to speak. So, what's going to happen with our heroes? Kind of excited to find out, actually. I hope these guys like the world that I've made for them. We'll see who's alive and who's dead. in their world, or at least in my Netflix, or in my Netflix Dodd universe. So we're going to throw things over to us at the Weird News, and we'll talk about all the things that was strange, bizarre, and something that definitely had it coming.
What makes you qualified to be a reporter?
I'm willing to violate anyone's privacy for my personal gain and then claim with a straight face that the public has a right to know.
By the hand of Zeus, what manner of deviltry is this?
I love fake alien poop day.
And of course it wouldn't be Twig, the flagship of stupidity, without us talking about the week that was simply screwed up, messed up, bizarre. I'm going to start things off with my weird news story for this week. Did you know there was a Lego crime boss?
Wait, what?
Yeah. A Lego crime boss was busted in Portland. So I'm going to read part of this story. And I'm also going to read part of the statement from the Portland Police Department.
He's not made out of Lego, is he?
No, he's not the Kraglin from the Lego movie. I'm actually going to show Alex a picture of part of the thing that was busted.
Wait, okay, can I take a guess?
Yes.
Did he, like, rob a truck full of Legos and then run a business out of his home?
No, he actually did something. I'm actually kind of surprised how he pulled this off. So 40-year-old Raji Alfie Azar ran a Lego theft and fencing operation in Portland, Oregon. Aided by the Fred Meyer Markets Retail Theft Unit, Portland Police Department put a stop to the Brick Bandit. So what had happened...
That's what you want to... That's what you're going to be called for the rest of your life, the Brick Bandit?
They call me Tater Salad. So this is the type of guy. So what had happened is the investigation began in early 2018 when Fred Meyer's Organized Retail Theft Unit learned that Azar was the leader of this fencing operation that involved the theft and sale of merchandise from multiple stores in Portland. So what had happened is that undercover investigators were contacted by Azar on multiple occasions, and what would happen is people would steal out of the back of these stores, and sorry. Now, Azar had requested undercover investigators who he believed were theft suspects sell him approximately $13,000 in stolen merchandise. Now, once investigators had taken this guy in the custody, they checked out his house, right? And they found a large quantity of stolen Legos and other stolen merchandise. They were figuring out that the retail value of all these stolen Legos and other toys, were worth over $50,000. So he would sell these items on Craigslist and OfferUp and Facebook, I'm going to presume he probably used as well. And he'd also sell them on, like, eBay. So as part of the fencing operation, people, he would also... fence stolen items from other people who are looking for drug fixes and stuff like that too, right?
I'm just thinking, like, that's what you... If you're going to do that, you're going to be the Lego King?
Basically, yeah. I mean, I'm just going to read this word for word. As part of Azar's fencing operation, people who oftentimes suffered from addiction to opioids and other drugs would enter stores, steal items to sell to Azar. Azar would in turn buy the stolen merchandise for a small percentage of the item's actual worth and sell the stolen merchandise at a large profit for himself. The Brick Bandit. And I'm looking at some of these.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
It's all about proving that he had that intent initially. If you're just a guy that is known for being a collector who also sells things, you don't necessarily know that the stuff you're buying is stolen. I mean,
that's true.
I mean, sure, there's the possibility. Like, if you see a skeevy looking guy bringing you stuff, but he's a guy you know who also who is able to get stuff cheap or whatever. You don't know if the guy picked it up at a thrift store, if he got it from family or something. You don't necessarily know that it's stolen unless he was telling people, go and steal this shit from me.
Well, yeah. Well, the Lego collector market is huge. So he probably had some people who were buying from him who knew this stuff was hot.
But again, the question is, they're going to have to prove that he knew it was hot.
The Brick Bandit or
the Brick
Bandit. Oh, God, yes.
But I mean, they're still going to have to prove that he knew it was hot.
Oh, yeah. I've got a feeling they're going to have
I don't doubt that this is the case because it's on this much of a scale. But, it, I mean, you, if you work at a pawn shop or a game store, the reason they have that holding period of 2 weeks is in case
so
the police come by.
So they can look into it.
But, especially if you give cash. But it, but at that point, you think about it, they don't know. I'm willing to bet that what goes into, like, your standard GameStop EB Games, that maybe 1% to 5% of what they get in trade is probably stolen.
Oh, I would absolutely promise that. We have a friend who works in an EB Games. We could ask him, like, how often do you think stolen stuff shows up? Which wouldn't surprise me. Or people who have suffered bad breakups and just take what isn't theirs.
Exactly. You know what even counts? If you bought some games for yourself, let's say you're a teenager, you bought some games for yourself, and your parents grounded you, and they grab your shit and sell it, technically,
that's
stealing.
That's theft, yeah.
So you
but they don't think about that, because I'm the parent, and I'm right.
So I bet that happens a lot more than people realize.
Yeah. So, however, the city of Portland can sleep easy tonight, knowing the Brick Bandit is behind bars. Christ. What
I was,
do you
I was
got?
Picturing him like as a supervillain building an entire house out of Lego bricks. You can't see me.
His entire house is just surrounded in red brick Legos. Like, you can't cross that. It's lava.
And it's like, oh, like the 1950s Legos. The 60s, yeah. Like, the really raw. Oh.
Pointy and sharp.
All I can think of is accidentally stepping on one of them one day.
Ugh.
Well, for me, I have something interesting as well. A security robot found beaten up and covered in barbecue sauce had it coming. That's the title of the article.
That's so weird.
Under normal circumstances, we would never encourage or endorse slathering someone in barbecue sauce, beating them up, and leaving them lying on the side of the road. But and that goes both for humans and robots. But we're not exactly short-circuiting with anger over this one mechanical security guard who had that exact thing happen to it. Basically, it's a robot that was a security guard for this property that was programmed to harass homeless people so that they wouldn't stay there.
That's so weird. So I kind of picture like the security robots from Watch Dogs. That's these basically look like vending machines rolling around.
It was used at a nonprofit organization in San Francisco to discourage homeless people from congregating. Was found lying on its side, wrapped up in a tarp, and marinating in some barbecue sauce. No word on what flavor or brand.
I'm just curious to know, where did the homeless people get the barbecue sauce?
I don't know. The 5-foot-tall, 300-pound machine, it looks like it was inspired by the Doctor Who's Daleks. I'll show Michael a video later on of this, because it looks terrifying. Is designed to alert the local authorities of any untoward behavior, but apparently, it wasn't able to get help for itself in time.
God. That's so weird. And I've heard of this happening before, not being covered in barbecue sauce, but where they have security robots designed to harass homeless people.
I'm just thinking, oh, fuck you! And they tip it over, barbecue sauce, and then cover it in a tarp.
You like that? You're going to go to Arby's,
well, I mean,
Dalek.
I mean, I'm sorry. Like, it's one thing if you're worried about homeless people congregating in your area. Homelessness is an issue. More
everywhere.
Of a mental health issue and than anything, and it's way worse in the States than it is up here. Like, when we see homeless here, it's nothing compared to the States.
Yeah, like, when I was out in California about 10 years ago, I was surprised at the amount of homeless people.
My brother, when he worked in New York, like, even in Manhattan, like, he goes, every block had one or two people just sleeping on the ground. And that is everywhere. You go to Toronto, which is probably the closest to an American-style city that we have, and there's homeless, but it's not like that.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine it gets worse, like San Francisco, where the cost of living is even higher than it is in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
You've got cases like this. But it's one thing to have the police come by, like have a beat cop walk up and down and then, you know, stop people
and
from
just ask you to please move.
Yeah. Or but it's another thing to have, like, Ed 209 stand there, leave.
Well, that's another thing, too, because you could, like, imagine one of these security robots automated with, like, a beanbag gun.
Well, and right now, it's automated to make noise and hoot and holler and then call the police automatically.
Yeah.
But I could see if I was a homeless dude and I'm already having trouble and I'm not, you know, not on my feet, I'm not able to, and then a fucking robot telling me to do something.
Yeah, I'd be pretty pissed off, too. That's so fucking strange.
You're
going to
get sauced, bitch.
All I pictured this thing just reeking of, like, mesquite barbecue. That's what I
was hoping it was the sweet baby back rib sauce.
Fucking Sweet Baby Ray's or some shit like that.
Or maybe it's JR's BBQ sauce. From
Someone decided to marinate that robot real good. Speaking of things that are not real good, we're going to take a visit down to Satan's Pantry this week. What's going to delight us and probably terrify us? Well, you're going to have to stay tuned right here to Twig to find out what's going to happen to our taste buds. We'll be back right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity. I've been your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, joined with Alex. We still haven't decided on a nickname for him just yet. We'll be back, guys, right after this.
Welcome to hell.
You wouldn't even serve it to a pig. It's inedible.
Welcome back to Satan's Pantry as we decide to delve into Satan's evil side of the grocery aisle. We are deciding to try something a little bit different today. We are trying hot wasabi peas from the Hoppy Snack Company, which are evidently BPA free. I don't know what that means, but these are wasabi coated green peas. Now, before we start this excursion into hell, I have an unfortunate experience with wasabi. I may have told the story on the show at some point. It's worth hearing again. So many moons ago, before I met Blair, I was dating a lovely girl named Christy, and she decided to play a prank on me, and we are in the throes of passion, if you will, and she decides to say, hey, Mike, close your eyes, and I'm expecting, oh, cool, boobies. No. She decides she has a huge dollop of wasabi on her finger, puts it in my mouth, and closes my mouth and basically forces me to swallow. I have never wanted to hit someone so much in my life because it burned, it was death, there was puke, it was disgusting. Christy, I still don't forgive you to this very day, but hey, you get mentioned on the show, so Merry Christmas to you.
We don't call it, at my house, wasabi, it's just the brain sauce.
Yeah, oh. Okay,
horseradish.
So I have four of these in my hand. I'm actually going to smell them right now. They don't smell hot, so just eat them all at once. Okay.
I won't be doing that as I have 21.
We're all doing
in my hand.
Jesus.
All right. Fuck it. All right. Down the hatch.
They sound crunchy.
Are we all eating them now?
Yeah.
You know what?
I'll do four at once too.
Oh,
no,
fuck
I
you.
I don't want more. These aren't that strong at all.
Death, fuck you.
These aren't very strong at all.
These are less than like.
Mine hit.
Num.
No, I put it to the side of my mouth.
Why?
This is not the same as getting, like, when you get sushi
fast.
And get, like,
okay,
a spoonful
there it goes.
Of it.
Holy shit, fuck off. Blah.
It's not like capsaicin. There's no place like that.
Mike, this is weak sauce.
Mine were just coated.
I think Lee has Lee spilled the cup.
See, here's the thing. I love horseradish. I love wasabi. These, as I was mentioning
one
in between.
One up your nose.
Okay,
I just
fine.
Ate the asshole out of Satan.
Oh, I regret that.
Now breathe. And now pick one out. And then eat it.
I just ate the asshole out of Satan's mistress. Holy shit.
Oh, good God.
He just shoved one up his nose.
And now he can't get it out.
Plug the other nostril and blow.
I got it. It's right here.
Did that clear your brain out?
Oh, sorry. Anyways.
It's like shoving a Metroid.
As I was mentioning beforehand, I used to eat these a lot when I went to Anime North. I'd pick up like a bag every time I went. These are not the hottest thing I've ever had. I love the feeling of like horseradish and wasabi and that burning feeling in my sinuses. To me, it's just like, it's like a drug, you know? Ugh. So these, delicious.
All right, now.
Do not want.
Now, make them into a paste. And then put it in one of Mike's G Fuels and see what happens.
Yeah, I die. Basically, I melt.
Well, I'm licking my hands for the rest of you.
Mm. All right, you still got one in your leg. Eat that one up.
The rule of wasabi. The rule that I follow with wasabi is just make sure you don't exhale through your nose while you're eating it, and you're fine.
Yeah, these are evidently a product of China. Why am I not friggin' surprised?
They are. They're horseradish, and it's a strong horseradish, but it's nothing that.
I do not like it.
I'm not a big fan of horseradish. I like it when it's in something like a
take these to the theater.
When you get
me.
Like a really good German seed mustard.
Yeah, you see that I'm okay with
because it has this the hint of horseradish.
Yeah,
or even Arby's horsey sauce.
Who wants my burger pee?
Okay, so
give it to the cat.
So that's gonna do it for this edition of Satan's Pantry. Next week on the show we have something I don't even know how to describe it. We're gonna we're gonna drink jelly, and I don't know how else to describe it. So that's gonna do it for this edition of the show. So join us next week as we crack open Satan's pantry and get a glimpse into, well, ooh, more or less the mind of evil itself.
I really
want to
make Mike barf.
I wasabi peed myself.
Oh boy.
What is that? What is that? What is that? Fuck off, will you? Fuck off.
We are checking out two products from Logitech. We are going to be looking at the G603 Lightspeed Wireless Gaming Mouse and the Logitech G613 Lightspeed Wireless Mechanical Gaming Keyboard. Like I said, both coming to us from Logitech. So you might be wondering, why am I looking at a mouse and keyboard? Well, these are gaming peripherals. I'm just getting into PC gaming as my computer is powerful enough to do it now. And for an entirely different reason. As some of you may know, I am now handicapped through suffering an amputation by losing my left leg. What does that mean? Why am I using a gaming keyboard and gaming mouse? Because it's wireless now. Because I'm now using a wheelchair and having to sit in the same place for the same time, I can't get to my old gaming desk where I used to sit and edit the show and play video games all the time. I now have to sit on the edge of my bed with a portable table or sit in my wheelchair with a portable table, and that means I can't have a lot of cords on the floor. But I need performance. I can't exactly play, you know, say Counter-Strike or, you know, Fortnite with, you know, a controller as well as a keyboard and mouse. That's just, it's a fact of life. You're gonna have better aim with a keyboard and mouse than you are with a controller. I mean, look at some of the people that play Overwatch. There's different kind of tiers of that, but I digress. So I needed something that was powerful enough via Bluetooth or via USB that would offer me the strength that I need based on the distance that my computer is sitting away. Now, I've got my computer and my keyboard and mouse at about 10 feet to 12 feet away from my computer. And using this gaming keyboard, I have not noticed any degradation in performance. In fact, I'd argue it's better than it's ever been. Now, obviously, a wired mechanical keyboard is going to perform better, but for a wireless mechanical keyboard, this really can't be beat. Now, this is the first mechanical keyboard I've had that's comfortable. The buttons feel nice and clicky. It's almost like a typewriter, if I could say that. They also have a series of programmable macro buttons on the side. Now, I haven't had a chance to really fool with those because I'm not the macro guy, but there is a difference from my old Orion series Logitech keyboard, is that the wrist rest is built in, it's non-removable. They also have an analog, or a button rather, for the volume control, where you basically just push it up and down, as opposed to the roller that you got with the Orion series keyboard. Now, it doesn't light up, which is admittedly kind of crappy, but this thing has a ludicrous battery life. We're talking a battery life that's measured in like months, not days or weeks or anything like that, months. It's insane. And I have this thing on all the time. So I'm rather impressed with the keyboard. Now to move on to the mouse, it doesn't light up either, but this has a battery life which, if you use it in gaming mode, will last you something like 500 hours. If you use it in non-gaming mode, just, you know, typical point and click and do whatever, it'll last you something like, I think it's like 1,400 hours, which is, you know, insane. All things considered, I am really pleased with the way Logitech has had these wireless products perform, especially for me, given my unique situation now. I'm really impressed with the Lightspeed dongle that is the USB. I've had a chance to experiment with the Bluetooth. I didn't have a lot of connectivity issues. I mostly used it on my like iPhone or my like iPad when I needed a stand or when I needed to type something really long. I just Bluetooth it and hook it up to my iPad and it wasn't so bad. But overall, would I recommend these products? Absolutely. You can find these things on Amazon. You'll probably go to factorydirect.com or factorydirect.ca and find them as well. But Logitech here has definitely scored a winner in terms of wireless gaming and definitely scored a winner in terms of accessibility. I do not know where I would be if I did not have these. So thank you, Logitech, for putting out a quality product, not just for regular gamers, but for folks like me who have different accessibility needs. So hopefully you'll have a chance to check out the Logitech G613 wireless keyboard as well as the G603 wireless gaming mouse. Definitely made my life here as a handicapped person a lot easier because I now have the performance I need in a wireless gaming peripheral. So here on the show this past week, we have talked about robots soaked in barbecue sauce, a trip down to Satan's pantry, but we've also talked about Love is in the Air via Twitter. We've talked about the Avengers Infinity War at length. We talked about BattleTech from Harebrained Schemes and Paradox Interactive and kind of gave you an update what's going on. Once again, we send our deepest condolences and sympathies to Tristan and Lacey. Hopefully they will be able to join us next week here on the show, as I'm not quite sure what's coming up next week. I know this week, in terms of content, is remarkably busy. We have a brand new Turtle Treasure coming out this week. We have a brand new prototype coming out this week where we're going to be talking about our gaming backlog, games we want to play, games we might have missed, or stuff like that. We're also going to have our brand new, hopefully weekly to bi-weekly, DVD commentary, which will be Twig DVD Commentary YouTube Theater Edition, where we find out-of-print movies on YouTube that don't necessarily have a DVD or VHS release anymore, and we'll talk about them at length so you can watch them with us, laugh at their odd stupidity, and hopefully have a good time with us. I don't know, Alex, have I missed anything?
I'm trying to think what you're appearing on or what I might be doing.
There might be a Mayhem Mics this week. I know, yeah, I think
you're
going to
be on
doing
Future Imperfect.
Yep, Future Imperfect's coming up this week, as well as Altered Geek.
And just basically, we're in review-orama right now.
Yeah, I am currently, for next week's show for Twig, you will hear God of War or Dad of War. I played more Battletech than I should have, so I'm a little bit behind. I'm also finally going to get into Yakuza 6, Song of Life. Mostly I'm looking forward to playing the Kitty Cat Simulator. So I'm raise cats.
It's one of those cases where we've got a lot of things on the go right now, so we'll see what materializes.
Yeah, I'm also playing with my cat right now, and she's batting at her tail because she's a stupid cat.
And as always, we've got the Cambridge Chronicles.
Of course, yep. We actually, this week is something special for Cambridge Chronicles.
No, it's not out this week. We still got another show.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, you still have another adventure with us on the Cambridge Chronicles, and then
in 2 weeks or so, you'll have a special.
You'll have a special, which is kind of like a roadmap to season 2. That's right. Cross your fingers, guys. A lot of exciting, cool things coming up on the show for that. So, anyway, guys.
Oh, I think, next week we're going to talk about the Free Comic Day.
Yes. Next week, we got a bunch of the Free Comic Day books.
Like 20 of them.
So we're going to take a read through those this past week. You can guess which one I'm starting with Go, Go, Power Rangers. I'll be talking about that, probably Doctor Who, maybe Overwatch, stuff like that.
And I picked up a lot of the independent ones, the mature reader ones, and I'm going to go through them and see what's good and what's not.
Yeah, so hopefully you had a chance to participate in Free Comic Book Day this past week. Hopefully this weekend your sink was full of mayo. And hopefully you're binge-watching Season 4 of Arrested Development Remix with Cinco de Cuatro. So anyway, for Twig, the flagship of stupidity, we have been
Alex.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodds, and live free or die hard. We'll catch guys again next week right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Okay, son, now you're starting to scare the viewers.
Just act normal.
I'd ask you to do the same, but I'm afraid that ship has sailed.
Why are there so many ostriches?
But you have a game that is dipped in a bit of a f-
ropey, thick, window cocking.
So guys, we'll be right back right here on This Week in Geek, only on ThisWeekInGeek.net and many other sites where I syndicate this crap, because I'm a media slut.
I like turtles.
Loose like your mom.
That's right.
No fisting, you say. Anything else you object to?
Me lucky tater tots.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Follow and message us on Twitter at This Week in Geek. And check out our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. And if you're the good old-fashioned email type, send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time. And remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah.
That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations. The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah.
That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.